Without a doubt, the COVID-19 pandemic is affecting businesses, both small and large. So in these unsettling times, what should board members be focusing on, and how should leadership respond to the crisis as it unfolds? On this week's TICE podcast, Steve Durbin, Managing Director of the Information Security Forum, ISF, offers advice on how leadership should engage with shareholders, customers, and their employees, as well as why he thinks there's no better time than the present to reassess how we operate, both as businesses and as individuals. In Steve's view, the pandemic will have long-term implications on the way we operate as businesses, so this is an excellent opportunity for us all to learn. My name's Anna, editor at TICE, and here's the interview. Steve, in recent history, we've seen the unimaginable happen. 9/11, Brexit, the election of Donald Trump. And yet, no event in recent times has so dominated the news more and had bigger potential implications for our businesses than coronavirus. Businesses, small and large, are affected. What should board members be focusing on at this time?
No, I think that's a very good point. We are, everybody, whether you be sitting on a board, whether you be working in a call center, working in a corner shop, doesn't really matter. We're all facing a situation that is quite unprecedented. And I think the first thing for everybody to understand is that nobody has a perfect answer to this. Nobody actually planned for this particular situation. And we could, you know, argue and discuss whether or not government should have done a better job of anticipating it and putting in place the right level of infrastructure to support. But certainly, you know, in my experience, when talking to boards about some of the business continuity that they had put in place or that they had played through and developed, it was all based around something that they could relate to. So something that they'd seen before. So for instance, it might have been based around a hurricane. Well, if we take that as an example, business continuity would then look to how do we have other sites that are away from a hurricane zone that can take up the slack. And so the challenge with this particular situation is that it is global. It is affecting all elements of an operation, and people are in uncharted waters. So you fall back on then the training, I guess, that you've gone through as an organization, the way in which you operate. And the role of the board for me in all of this is to provide that degree of stability. It's not necessarily to be rolling its sleeves up and diving in to try to help the executive management. This is a time for boards to really take stock on how they can add value to the situation. They need assurance. So they need assurance that the organization is prepared. They need assurance that the plans that they were made aware of are being rolled out effectively. And they need updates on that, obviously. But what they're not there to be is an additional burden on the executive leadership. And so the role of the chief executive and the chairman in particular, for me in this situation, are absolutely pivotal. You know, you have to have a good relationship between those two individuals because they act as the conduits then into the organization and back into the boardroom. So any organization that has spent time really, you know, finely tuning and honing that sort of relationship, I think is seeing benefit from that at the moment.
And what's your advice on strategy? How far ahead should they be looking?
Yeah, strategy is an interesting one because, you know, and I'm speaking very personally here because from an ISF standpoint, we were going through the process of defining the next phase in our strategy, and that was having the final touches put to it round about January of this year. And to be perfectly honest, a huge amount of that doesn't change. Because strategy for me has to be flexible. Strategy has to contain elements in it that allow you to adapt to market conditions. And you know, I think I'm probably in quite a lucky position in that I have a very very close, very instructive, very helpful, supportive relationship with the ISF board. I'm part of that board, and I've been working with the same people for a number of years now. So we've built up a level of trust in what we're each able to do. So I think that what we've necessarily need to do here is just look at the strategy that we've adopted, understand that we may need to make some changes, and we've made a few to take into account some of the challenges that we're facing at the moment and some of the things that we're learning. Because I think that's the other important piece. This is a good time to actually learn in terms of how you can improve some of the things that you're doing, both strategically and operationally. And the board's role in all of this is really just to ensure that the company, the organization, is able to deal with whatever the future might look like. And frankly, we don't know. I mean, a number of people that we both talk to, I'm sure, you know, are viewing this as being a short-term issue. I have a slightly different perspective on it. I think that it's much longer term. I think that some of the impacts of what we're seeing will be very far-reaching. I think that some businesses will change very significantly. I think that we're identifying, you know, digital solutions that perhaps we wouldn't have identified otherwise. So the role of the board and strategy is to try to incorporate some of those things, to just revisit the strategy on an ongoing basis, to say, okay, what are some of the things that perhaps we had planned that are no longer going to be effective, given the sorts of situations that we anticipate out there? And that, for me, is the real role of the board. It's about anticipating. It's about that forward-looking piece. They shouldn't be getting too involved in the operational elements of what we're going through at the moment. That's really the role of the executive leadership. Unless, of course, through their business continuity, that's planning, that's been, there have been one or two individuals in the board that have got specific skills that have been asked to step in at that point.
But it's interesting what you said, they shouldn't get too involved. But, you know, in moments of crisis, maybe one's instinct is to get involved, to control something. Because at the moment, all we know is if we stay at home and wash our hands, that's as much control as we have. So how do you encourage the board to trust their directors and step back?
I think that, as I say, I'm fortunate in that with my board, there is that degree of trust. I think for others, if it doesn't exist, then that's been an opportunity missed. Frankly, I would find it very difficult as chief executive to be able to work with a board that didn't trust me and that I didn't trust. But we are where we are. And, you know, there are some organizations out there, some people listening to this who will be perhaps not in that position. And I think that if you are in that position, you have to do everything that you can to establish that trust. And it's about really doing the basics and making sure that you're communicating effectively, that you're being as transparent as possible. I think from a leadership standpoint, it's about just facing up to the fact that you don't have all the answers, but you need to be transparent about that. You also need to be transparent about what you believe in. And I think that engenders then a degree of confidence, not just in the boardroom, but also across the organization. And that then takes us into, you know, what is the role of the leader in these times? And it is about communicating. It's about empathizing. It's about understanding that everybody, as you say, feels a lack of control, and they are, you know, in locations that perhaps they wouldn't have wanted to have been in for a long period of trying to work if they're fortunate enough to still be able to work remotely. So I think it's about making sure that communication channels remain open, that the leadership teams in organizations are regularly communicating with their staff, that they're listening, that they are providing insight, guidance as appropriate, that they're providing the opportunity for people to really get back together virtually. So things like coffee mornings, happy hours, you know, all of this sort of thing that we're starting to see. We should never really underestimate the importance of that. Because we are social animals. You know, we like to interact with people. Whether you happen to be the chairman of a board or where you are in an organization, you always want to understand what is happening in your environment and be able to reach out to other people to, you know, offer advice, learn from them. And it's very important, I think, at the moment that that we preserve some of those basic fundamentals that I think we quite often have taken for granted because we've been working in offices, we've been able to bump into people, we've been able to have, you know, chats at coffee machines and that kind of thing.
Okay, so it's not necessarily a bad thing to admit you don't have all the answers.
No, it isn't. And yeah, I don't know anybody who does have all the answers. And I think that if you pretend that you do, you're only going to really come across as being somebody that perhaps can't be trusted. And I think this really does play to understanding, you know, how leaders need to be behaving in the current moment. And it is a difficult time for everybody, but from a leadership perspective, it is probably even more difficult because you have to be adapting your style. What do I mean by that? Well, some people are very comfortable with remote working. You know, they're used to doing it. Others aren't. And so from a leadership standpoint, you have to adapt that style to take into account the way in which your audience is feeling right the way across your business, your organization, irrespective of the role that they have.
What about for those leaders who have to make those decisions and lay people off? What's your advice for those uncomfortable discussions?
Yeah, I think that is one of the worst aspects of this particular situation that we're in at the moment. You know, businesses were, particularly here in the UK, you know, we were, I think we'd all breathed a sigh of relief that Brexit was eventually done. We were going to, you know, cross T's, dot I's, but we would be able to move on. People were looking at how they could adapt their businesses going forward. And then suddenly we have this situation. There is never a good way to lay off anybody. I think that what you can do is be human about it. Understand that you know, you're talking to individuals whose not just careers but potentially existences are now being cast in doubt. And I think that you owe, from an organizational standpoint, everybody who works for you a degree of duty of care. So, you know, it is about how do you make sure that they can take advantage of some of the government schemes that are being put in place. It's about being realistic in the number of people that you have to lay off. I mean, it's very interesting to look at the way some very large employers are behaving. So, you know, British Airways being a good example currently about some of the practices that they're adopting, some of the discussions they're having to have with the unions, you know, some of the commitments around it being, you know, short-term layoffs. We're not going to have any longer term. We've got people like the chairman of Visa, for instance, coming out and making statements that you know, Visa will not be laying off people in 2020 as a result of COVID-19. So I think it's about, you know, as I say, communication. It's about understanding. It's about pointing people to where they can get the supportive resources that they may need, whether it be from your own organization, if you're able to do that, or from third parties. And always leaving the door open that you know, there may be an opportunity for them to come back at a future point in time, and you would want them to be able to do that.
Mm. Going back to the board, when it comes to the shareholders, how should they engage with them now?
Yeah, shareholder communication, I think, is also very important at the moment, because you're trying to manage shareholder expectation. And I think that will vary depending on which part of the world you happen to be in. I mean, if you're in the United States, for instance, you're very used to operating around a, you know, a quarterly cadence in terms of communicating with your shareholders. If you're in the UK, it tends to be a little bit longer term than that. But again, for me, it's about really coming up with some really clear messages around what steps you are taking to make sure that the organization is as best equipped as possible to come through this particular crisis, and to reassure shareholders, certainly, that that is what the board is focusing on and what executive leadership is being tasked with doing at the operational level. And I think, again, just making sure that they understand that where there are significant changes, that you'll be communicating back to them. But this probably isn't a time to be absolutely flooding your shareholders with daily updates, because you've got nothing to say, quite frankly.
How often do you recommend they should be in touch?
I think with shareholders, then again, depends where you are. I think if you're used to a quarterly cadence, then you need to maintain that. I think that you should maintain, you know, that's a regularity of communication. And as I say, if it's something, you know, untoward happens, then you would communicate exceptionally, as you would normally. You know, exceptional general meetings are very often called by organizations for a variety of reasons. So I think that following that, as I say, well-established governance practice and cadence is the way to go. The other element of communication, of course, though, is across the organization with your people. And I think that that is really where the need, more importantly, lies, because, you know, people do want to be updated, and certainly if I look at what we're doing across the ISF, you know, it's about how we communicate with our people. It's not just me; I do that on a regular basis, yes. But it's about how my leadership team are also then having their regular communications with their teams and cascading that down through the organisation, so that we've got this two-way flow of information that's hugely important at the moment.
Sure. And obviously you've got customers as well. I mean, reaching out to them, what's the best method right now?
I think that, again, customers obviously want to know what's going on. And you know, I'm just falling back here on what we've been doing. Certainly we've communicated with our members, our clients, right at the beginning, around how we were going to continue to provide the level of services that we provide them with, what that might mean if there were any differences. And we were very clear about that right at the outset. An example would be we run a tremendous amount of events. We run something like 80 or 90 different events around the world in the course of 12 months. And we haven't cancelled any of those. What we've done is we've shifted them online. So we've really embraced the whole sort of digital communication there. And I have to say that people have responded exceptionally well to that, have accepted some of the shortcomings of that technology infrastructure brings to that. So it's about being clear on that. And then what we've also tried to do, and we do this very regularly, is to offer up helpful, well, I hope are helpful, tips to people on things like home working, on things like threat management, on things like working with third parties, just making sure that everybody has got some key things that they can take away. But the most important thing is really just letting people know that we're still here. And we spend a lot of time working with our members, really, to try to address some of the challenges that they're facing anyway. And, that has remained, those lines have remained open. And for me, that's hugely important, that the ISF is still around for our members, still able to address the security concerns that they've got, and to provide some real practical advice and guidance.
And what are your members asking you right now? What do they need help on?
I think we've seen, just in the very recent last few days, a bit of a change going on. So certainly one of the things we noticed right at the beginning was, you know, how do we put in place things like home working, remote access? How do we deal with the issue of awareness? For a lot of organizations, nobody ever planned for the fact that whole offices would suddenly be having to work from home, whole functions, you know, finance, for instance, suddenly having to work from home. So those are the sorts of things that we were initially being asked to provide specific help on. It's moving now more to things like ongoing risk assessment of certain situations, people being able to take stock more of the fact that, okay, we've got a lot more information perhaps that's going into the cloud from remote locations. How do we manage that? How do we reassess risk in that particular space? How do we mitigate against some of the challenges that we see arising there? Some concerns as well from certain organizations around things like cybercrime, the rise in cybercrime, ransomware, that sort of thing. So again, some advice that we can provide to people there in terms of, again, it's largely awareness, but also about what your security operations center should be looking for and remote monitoring and so on. And I think one of the other things that is starting to emerge more is the positioning of information security going forward, because I'm not aware of any organization from an information security, risk management, cybersecurity standpoint that isn't absolutely rushed off its feet at the moment. And so it's about how do we position the profession within organizations then going forward, because for a lot of people this is they really are demonstrating their value at the moment, and so how do we keep that going, how do we remain relevant in the much longer term? So those are just some of the things that we're dealing with.
Really interesting. And earlier on you said that you believe the situation will have long-term consequences in the way we run organizations, the way we interact. What's that? I mean, it's very hard to predict, obviously. But I mean, what do you mean by those long-term implications? What does that look like for you?
I think it's certainly for me and for the ISF, it's about us reassessing the way perhaps we deliver services to our members, to our clients around the world. I think it's about reassessing the role that we play. You know, our relevance as a provider of services. You know, is it we're starting to be asked questions around, you know, as I said earlier, around the positioning of the practice. So maybe we ought to be moving more into providing support to some of our members in that particular space, whether that be taking us into areas such as you know, learning, career development, and so on. I think more broadly, for other organizations, one of the things that I'm very aware that a number of boards are thinking about at the moment is what does the future look like for the organization? You know, what will demand look like? How should we perhaps be adapting to a future state that will be very different from the one that we are used to? I'm not a believer that at some point, you know, coronavirus will disappear and we'll all suddenly go back to doing things as we used to. I think it will have far-reaching implications, both at a societal level and also at a business level. And I think that, you know, we need to understand that because it affects people, and businesses, after all, are about people. You know, there isn't an organization out there that could exist without people. Some have tried, and by reducing that and relying much more heavily on technology, I think that fundamentally it's people and teams that make the difference, particularly in these sorts of crisis situations. And so I think there's all of that coming into the mix as well. At a very simplistic level, yes, people will be, if you're in a sales environment at the moment, you'll probably be wondering whether or not you need to put the same number of reps back out on the road when they're able to do that. Because if you've managed to keep going using inside sales and remote communication, perhaps that's a way to go. Do you always need to have in-person communication to with teams, with customers, and so on? So all of these fairly sort of basic communication methods and ways of doing business, I think people are starting to think through. If we set aside the human elements of this and the devastating implications that it's having at the moment for just a moment, I think that it is an interesting time to be able to reassess and to just rethink to a level that we probably would not have done before. So if we're looking for any sorts of little shining lights in all of this, maybe that is one. This is an opportunity for us to just reassess what's important to us as individuals, and as businesses, and to make sure that when we come out of this the other side, we don't forget those things, and we do come out of it better.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. It's interesting how we've had to separate ourselves and separate people in order to understand the value of people. Thank you, Steve. It's been insightful. It's been really great advice that you've given us. So thank you, and stay safe.
I will do. Thanks very much, Anne.
I hope you found that useful. Many thanks to Steve. Do tune in for next week's podcast, where I'll be speaking with Steve on how to manage the supply chain during the coronavirus. Do you like this podcast? Well, then please do follow us on iTunes, as well as comment on and rate our podcasts. Thanks so much for your support. Please stay safe and take care. Join us next time for more Cyber Conversations.